Once again, worship team. I think it's true that it can be very difficult for us to put ourselves in the shoes of another person. And I'm hoping during this Advent season to be able to put us in the shoes of some of the people who figure prominently in the Christmas narrative. They, along with us, had struggles to believe. They had struggles with doubt. They had fears, just as we do. And so during Advent, we're going to be looking at some of the persons in the Gospel of Luke who experience some of the human struggles that you and I do. But let's join together now and invite God's Spirit to speak to us, shall we? Let us pray. Father, we do thank you that you are with us through the storms of life. Father, you are good. You are faithful. You are merciful. Lord, you are full of grace. We thank you for Jesus, who was full of truth and full of grace. Father, he is truth, and yet he showed grace to those who needed it, and we need it. We thank you, Father, that although we struggle and we have unanswered questions, sometimes we wrestle with doubt or we wrestle with fear. Many times our faith is weak. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you give us strength and give us the grace we need at our point of need. Lord, as we look at some of the individuals, some of the persons who figure prominently in the Christmas story, in the Christmas narrative, may we put ourselves in their shoes, but may we also see that, Lord, they were no different than us as they wrestled to understand the ways of God. Father, build our faith through this series, encourage our hearts, speak to us through your Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Life is full of surprises, isn't it? Such was the case for a woman who received a very unwelcome and unpleasant surprise. It was a few days before Christmas, and the woman was home doing some Christmas baking. As she was working in her kitchen, she heard someone knocking on her front door. So she went to the door to answer it, and there stood a man holding a toolbox. He asked the woman if there were any odd jobs he could do around her house since Christmas was coming and he needed some extra money. The woman said, "Well, there's one job I've wanted to get done for a long time. Can you paint?" The man said, "Well, of course, I'm an excellent painter." The woman said, "Okay, there are several gallons of green paint and some paint brushes sitting in my garage. My porch needs painting. I'll pay you when I'm done, or when you're done. I've been wanting to have my porch painted for so long, but I just haven't gotten around to it." The man said, "No problem. I'll have it done by the end of the day." So the woman went back to her Christmas baking and more or less forgot about the man until there was a knock at the front door again about 4 or 5 hours later. The woman answered the door and saw the man standing there. He had an ugly, ugly shade of lime green paint all over his clothes and hands. The woman said, "Are you finished painting the porch?" "Yeah, I'm all done," replied the man, "but lady, there are two things I need to point out to you. First, I'm a little hard of hearing. And second, that's not a Porsche I painted back there. That's a Mercedes." As I said a moment ago, life is full of surprises, and sometimes things don't turn out the way we plan or the way we had hoped. Those of us who are seeking to live a life of faith are not immune from disappointment, loss, fear, grief, and doubt. The great men and women of faith that we read about in Scripture also experienced these things. They experienced fear, doubt, discouragement, and other challenges. During the Advent season, we're going to explore the lives of several people who feature prominently in the Christmas story to see how God met them in the midst of their struggles and their fears and their doubts. Today is the first Sunday of the Advent season. And the word Advent literally means coming or arrival. The focus of the Advent season is the celebration of Jesus' birth. It's also the anticipation of his return at his second coming. These two events, Jesus' birth and his second coming, call us to a time of spiritual reflection as we affirm that Christ has come as Savior and one day he will return as King and Judge of all the earth. As a season of spiritual reflection, Advent is a time for us, for you and I, to examine our own commitment to Christ. Today we begin our series, as I've already mentioned, by exploring one of the most prominent themes in the Christmas story, that the ways of God are sometimes hard for us to understand. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways are not my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." When we look at the Christmas narrative in the Gospels, the words of Isaiah 55 ring true. God does not act according to human logic. In so many ways, the birth of Christ turns human logic upside down. You see, there is no category, according to human logic, for a virgin birth. According to human logic, there is no category for a God who humbles himself and becomes a human baby, born to an obscure peasant woman. There are times in life when it is hard to make sense of certain things. It's hard to make sense of why seemingly good people suffer and evil people seem to prosper. It's sometimes hard to make sense of why our sincerest prayers, our heartfelt prayers, seem to go unanswered. The men and the women of faith in Scripture struggled with these same issues. Today we turn our attention to the following issue. How do I trust God when I find his ways hard to understand? Please join with me as I read Luke 1, 5 to 25, so please follow along. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 25. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abiah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord to burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." In Luke's narrative of the Christmas story, Luke stresses the theme of preparation. Luke tells us that before God sent his son into the world, he made sure that the way was prepared for Christ's entrance. God prepared the way by sending the angel Gabriel to visit several people. God prepared the way by sending John the Baptist to call people to repentance. Jesus entered human history according to God's perfect timetable. Therefore, in keeping with this theme of preparation, Luke carefully records what happened before Christ was born. The point I want to make is that God is always at work. He is always fulfilling his purposes and his plans, even when you and I cannot see or understand what he is doing. Looking at our passage today, let's explore the following question. How do I trust God when I find his ways hard to understand? There are 4 points I want to share from this passage this morning. First, from the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, we see that God is able to step into our lives to redeem our disappointments. In verses 5 to 7, we learn that Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were godly people. They were people of deep, genuine faith. We also learn that they had no children because of their advanced age, conception seemed impossible. In that culture, to be childless was cause for deep sorrow and embarrassment. It was believed that barrenness was a sign of God's disfavor. So Zechariah and Elizabeth lived with the social stigma of being childless. They lived with a great deal of shame and disappointment. Now, I'm certain that all of us have experienced disappointments in life. Some of you are sitting here today and you're struggling with shame and guilt because you feel that you've failed in some way. Some of you have regrets over the choices that you've made in life. Some of you are disappointed because life is not turning out the way you had planned or the way you had hoped. Whatever it might be, disappointment comes to each and every one of us in some form or another. So what do we do with our disappointments? You need to find hope in the belief that God can take your disappointments and he can enable you to experience his presence and his faithfulness in ways you would not otherwise have known. I once came across a very fascinating story. It was written by a man named John Patton, who was a pioneering missionary to a number of islands in the South Pacific. One night, John's home was surrounded by a group of tribesmen who were intent on killing John and his wife. They were armed with spears and so forth. Fearing for their lives, John and his wife prayed throughout the night for divine protection. When daylight came, they were relieved to see that their attackers had left. About a year later, the chief of the tribe converted to Christ. He became a Christian. And John asked the chief, "What kept you and your men from attacking our home that night about a year ago?" The chief replied by asking John a question. He said to John, "Who were all those men you had protecting you and surrounding your home that night?" John said, "There was no one there. My wife and I were the only ones in the house." The chief insisted that they had seen hundreds of men standing guard outside the missionary's home. According to the chief, the men wore shining clothes and carried swords in their hands, so the tribesmen left. The chief and John Patton agreed that the only explanation was that God had sent a legion of angels to protect the missionaries that night. Like these missionaries, there are times in our lives when we experience remarkable answers to prayer, maybe even a miracle. But there are other times when God seems to be silent. It seems as though he's not answering or even hearing our prayers. And this leads us to a second point from the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Even when God seems silent, this does not mean that our prayers go unheard. Even if God seems silent in your life right now, he is hearing your prayers. We need to take special note of the very first thing the angel said to Zechariah. In verse 13, the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." What prayer was the angel talking about? He is referring to the prayer that Zechariah and Elizabeth had offered probably countless times over the years, the prayer that God would give them a child. No doubt they had prayed this and prayed this prayer over and over again, and heaven seemed to be silent. Even though their prayers for a child went unanswered for so long, God was at work, preparing to answer their prayer according to his perfect will. Most of us are going to experience times when heaven seems to be silent. And during those periods, we need to persevere and continue to pray. If we give up, how will that improve our situation? If we lose hope and we stop praying for loved ones who are far from God, how will that help them? If your faith is being tested at this point in your life, remember this: even when God's presence is hard to see, he is at work in your life and in my life. A third lesson we learn from today's passage is that we must fight. We must fight our tendency toward doubt. In verse 18, Zechariah expresses his disbelief that God would answer his prayer for a child. Keep in mind, Zechariah was a faithful man, serving the Lord. He was doing all the right things. But when God challenged him to a new level of faith, he responded with doubt. And I understand his disbelief because the angel's words contradicted everything that appeared to be logical from a human perspective. But this text makes me wonder, how often does my lack of faith prevent God, prevent his power from working fully? How often does our lack of faith prevent us from experiencing God's power in wonderful ways? How often does our doubt steal our joy and our hope and our peace? To experience a fuller and deeper walk with God, we need to fight that human tendency we have to limit God because of our lack of faith. From the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, we learn a fourth thing. God disciplines us to restore our faith. In verses 19 to 20, we see that God disciplines Zechariah for his unbelief by taking away his voice until the promised baby was born. In this case, God's discipline served three purposes. God's discipline always has a purpose. And in this case, it had three purposes. Number one, to demonstrate his power. Number two, to refine Zechariah's faith. And third, to show God's mercy once his voice was restored. In his discipline, God is always merciful. Hebrews 12:11 reminds us that God disciplines his children for the purpose of purifying our faith and correcting us when we sin. One author writes the following: "Strange as it may seem, Zechariah's judgment was also a sign of God's mercy. He was judged so that he might be restored with a new found faith." Even in his discipline, God is merciful. I came across a true story a few years back about a woman named Stella Thornhope, and she was struggling with her first Christmas alone. Her husband had just passed away a couple of months before, and now it was about 2 weeks before Christmas. She felt terribly alone and sad, so she decided not to decorate for Christmas, not to have any kind of celebration at all. Late one afternoon, she answered a knock at her front door, and standing there was a delivery man holding a large box. She invited him into the entryway of her home and signed for the parcel. "I wasn't expecting a parcel, so what's in the box?" she asked. The delivery man laughed and opened up the flap, and inside the box was a little puppy, a golden Labrador retriever. "Who sent this?" Stella wanted to know. The delivery man put the puppy down and handed Stella a letter and wished her a Merry Christmas. Stella opened up the letter. It was from her late husband. He had written it 3 weeks before he died and left it with the kennel owners to deliver the puppy as his last Christmas gift to his wife. In the letter, her husband explained that he had sent this puppy to keep her company. The letter also encouraged Stella to remain strong and to always remember that one day she and her husband would meet again on the other side of eternity. After reading the letter, Stella wiped the tears from her eyes, and then she felt an amazing peace wash over her. She picked up the puppy and she hugged it, because for the first time in a long while, she felt a joy and wonder much greater than her grief and her loneliness. God has a way. He has a unique way of sending us a signal that light is more powerful than darkness, evil. There is hope. There is always hope, because God sent his son to offer redemption to a lost world. This is what we celebrate at Christmas. Well, we've looked this morning at some lessons from the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. I want to conclude with a couple of points that each of us can apply to our lives. Wherever we're at, we're all at different places in our lives. We always need to trust that God can step into our life and redeem our disappointments. The story of Zechariah and Elizabeth has a favorable outcome. They become the parents of a baby boy. The boy became John the Baptist, whom God chose to prepare the way for Jesus' earthly ministry. God stepped into their lives and he brought joy and blessing where there had been pain and disappointment. Whatever situation you find yourself in today, will you believe? Will you believe that God can step into your life and redeem your disappointments? Second, when the ways of God are difficult to understand, maintain an open and teachable heart. Zechariah was not prepared for what God was about to do because he did not believe that God was going to answer his prayer in a miraculous way. He simply couldn't conceive of a God who would do this. Zechariah and Elizabeth remind us that no matter how long you've been following Jesus, there is always room for us to learn and grow. God always desires to stretch our faith and to cause us to grow in our faith. We need to keep our heart open and teachable and allow God to do his work in our lives. Often when we're facing uncertainty and difficulties, our reaction is emotional. We get anxious and we start to worry. And then our emotions dictate our actions, and they dictate our behavior and our reactions. But God says that we need to respond to what we know to be true. We need to respond to what you and I know to be true. Specifically, we need to slow down and remember that he is God. He is on the throne of my circumstances and your circumstances. And no matter what comes into your life or my life, he is and always will be faithful to keep the promises that he's made to us. Please join with me and let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are the God of the impossible. You do not act according to human logic. According to human logic, a virgin birth makes no sense. According to human logic, a couple in their senior years cannot conceive a child, like Zechariah and Elizabeth. Isaiah 55 reminds us that your ways and your thoughts are higher than our ways and our thoughts. Father, help us to believe that you can step into our lives even when we're struggling and dealing with disappointments, and you can bring good out of our circumstances. You can use our circumstances to refine our faith. You can use our circumstances to show your power and your mercy. I pray for any who are struggling today, whether it's with worry or disappointments or anxious thoughts, stress, whatever it may be, that you would just grant them a special grace in their moment of need. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness and your mercy towards us. In Jesus' name, amen. And before we